House, please come to order. Members indicate your presence by voting. Madam Clerk?
33 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let the record reflect, please, that Representative Curtula has previously been excused from a call today.
An objection? I think Curtula will be shown as excused. Again, leading invocation today is Pastor Scott Williamson of the Glacier Valley Baptist Church. Members, please rise for the invocation.
Once again, recognizing that there are various faiths and beliefs represented here today, I offer this prayer this morning. Dear Father, you who created us in your image, I thank you for the uniqueness and personality of each person that's represented here today. You have shaped each man and woman here in a unique way to do the work to which you have called them in this assembly. And I pray that as they work together, that they will respect their differences as they do the work of this assembly. They are united in their love for their country and for the state of Alaska. And so as they unite together to craft legislation, may that legislation do good for the people of Alaska out in the future. I thank you for this coming weekend. Some will be working here in committees, and I pray that you guide them as they do their work. Some will be traveling, and I pray that you protect them as they are traveling. I pray that you give each one an opportunity for a chance of rest and renewal. May each one find that renewal that comes physically and mentally and spiritually this weekend. I thank you for the students that are here today. Father, may they once again come to have a great respect and appreciation for the form of government that we have here in this state and in our country as they watch these proceedings. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus, who said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Amen.
Amen. Representative Foster, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that beautiful and thoughtful prayer be spread across the journal. There no objection, the prayer be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, would you certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 94th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk. There no objection, then the journal will be certified as presented by the Chief Clerk. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Representative Dahl.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Speaker. I would like to have you all welcome with me some young citizens who are coming from Floyd Dryden Junior High School and are anxious to learn more about this body. They're in both galleries behind me, so could you all rise and welcome them. Thank you.
Very nice. Representative Nelson.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. They've been introduced already, but I just want to recognize that we do have students and teachers from Tuntutuliak and Napakiak with us today. Welcome back, students and teachers.
Any other guests? Representative Kelly.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. I think I might poach a little here. Maybe it would be best we introduce them all at once. I'd like Chad Roberts, Pat Cole, and Ron Wolf to please stand. This is the front line from the city of Fairbanks. And starting on our left, Pat Cole works out of the mayor's office. He's an attorney, been with the city for quite some time. And next in the middle is Ron Wolf, who is CFO for the city of Fairbanks. And on our right is Chad Roberts, works with Tom Roberts Realty, and he's a member of the city council, and they've been down helping to educate folks on the municipal impacts of the PERS-TERS situation, and also supporting the fix that we'll all be voting on fairly soon. So please help me welcome them. Mr. Speaker, I might add that I now got even with the representative up here for the other day when he poached, and I owe one to this representative. So.
I'm sure there'll be ample opportunity. Any other guests for introduction? Seeing none, any messages from the governor, Madam Clerk?
There are no messages from the governor today.
Are there any messages from the other body?
There are no messages from the other body.
Do we have any communications this morning?
And there are no communications.
Moving rapidly along, do we have any standing committee reports?
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 6, Civics Education Citizens Advisory Task Force, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 6, HESS. With the same title, attaches a fiscal note recommending due pass Cisna, Gardner, Newman, Faircloth, Seaton, Roses, and Wilson. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. House Concurrent Resolution 6 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Transportation Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 18, opposed federal aviation fuel tax increase, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 18, Transportation, with the new title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass, Faircloth, Dugan, Newman, Coring, and Johansson. The report was signed by Representative Johansson, Chair. House Joint Resolution 18 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 162, Mortgage Lending, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 162, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, attaches two fiscal notes and 10 fiscal note, recommending due pass, Book, no recommendation, Gardner, Ledoux, Newman, Ramirez, and Olson. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. House Bill 162 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 176, Create Fort Russo Causeway Park, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 176, Resources, with the same title, attaches a previous fiscal note, recommending due pass, Nelson, Thomas, Crawford, Jewell, Stoltz, Hawker, and Meyer. No recommendation, Kelly. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer, co-chair. House Bill 176 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 226, Repeal Termination of STEP Program, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 226, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, attaches two fiscal notes, recommending due pass, Gardner, Ledoux, and Book. No recommendation, Newman, Ramirez, and Olson. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. House Bill 226 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 4, HESS, Public Health and Health Compact, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 4, HESS, with the same title, attaches a previous zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Cisna, Gardner, Newman, Faircloth, Seaton, Roses, and Wilson. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 4, HESS, has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered Senate Bill 93, Professional Counselors, attaches a previous zero fiscal note recommending due pass Gardner, Book, Newman, and Olson. No recommendation, Ramirez. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. Senate Bill 93 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 123, Finance, Public Employees, Teachers, Judges, Employment Benefits, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 123, Finance, with the same title, attaches a previous zero fiscal note and a new fiscal note, recommending due pass Foster, Thomas, Kelly, Hawker, and Meyer. No recommendation, Crawford, Jewell, Stoltz, and Chenault. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 123, Finance, has no further referral. Transportation Committee has considered Senate Bill 130, Ranch Farm Dairy Vehicle Registration, attaches a previous zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Faircloth, Dugan, Newman, Coring, and Johansson. The report was signed by Representative Johansson, Chair. Senate Bill 130 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any special committee reports?
Mr. Speaker, could we roll back up to introduction of guests?
No objection, we'll roll quickly back up to introduction of guests. Is there anything to do?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I have a very special guest to introduce. She's sitting there in the Elizabeth Peratrovich Gallery, and it is my daughter, Cherie Ledoux. She's here visiting from Portland, Oregon. Please help me in welcoming my daughter, Cherie.
Any other guests while we're here? All right. Are there any other special committee reports, Madam Clerk?
The House Special Committee on Fisheries has reviewed the qualifications of Larry Edfelt and Claude Webster to the Board of Fisheries. The report was signed by Representative Seaton Chair and Representatives Ledoux, Wilson, Johansson, and Edgman. I have no further special committee reports.
Are there any resolutions or citations to introduce?
Citation honoring Buckland High School boys basketball team by Senator Olson and Representative Jewell. Honoring Norvik High School boys basketball team by Senator Olson and Representative Jewell. Honoring Nunavut Lady Wolves basketball team by Senator Olson and Representative Jewell. House Concurrent Resolution 8 by Representative Olson, establishing a task force to make recommendations regarding job descriptions and salary changes for the commissioners and support staff of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska.
Heard of the Labor and Commerce and Finance Committees.
There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Are there any bills for introduction?
House Bill 241 by Representative Guttenberg, entitled An Act Creating the Stampede State Recreation Area.
Hang on just a second here. That will be referred to the Resources and Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction.
Okay, that brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, could you please read the first item of the day's agenda?
House Bill 196 by the House Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Handling of Matters After a Person's Death. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 196 Judiciary with the same title, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass Grunberg, Lynn, Coghill, Holmes, and Ramirez. No recommendation, Samuels. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, Chair. There's one committee substitute.
Majority Leader. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 196 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Judiciary version before us. Madam Clerk, are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Then, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 196 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, will be in third. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 196, Judiciary, entitled An Act Relating to the Handling of Matters After a Person's Death.
Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. House Bill 196 is one of three bills that will be coming before the body to help keep the state of Alaska competitive in the trust market. It's a unique position that the state of Alaska enjoys with several other states in the union. This particular bill, 196, deals with wills. First, I must say that we took special precautions, particularly with thanks and gratitude to our colleague on the Judiciary Committee from Mountain View, who is very concerned about child support and spousal support. In the event that somebody were to pass away and try to play games by shifting an estate value to a girlfriend or a boyfriend and denying benefits to spousal commitments or to children. That being said, some of the other minor provisions that are facilitated in this bill include if one of us, God forbid, were to pass away, and you made a special provision in your will that that you have your list of heirs, and if one of your heirs were to challenge the outcome, if your wish was, I don't want any fighting over my estate, and one of your heirs decided, in fact, to instigate a challenge, should they lose that challenge, they would lose all the benefits that would accrue to them in the estate. So consider it a peace in the family improvement, and at the same time, a protection of obligations to spouses and children. There are a couple other minor provisions. We think this just clarifies, modernizes, and enhances language as dealing with wills and estates. It also increases some limits that just are inflationary in nature, from estates $25,000 up to $100,000. Defines what $100,000 is, that you can't attach your own appraised value to vehicles or to your home, and some clarifications. It just feels like a housekeeping bill on wills, and makes the state of Alaska a more competitive place to live out your final days. And we're all aware of the value that seniors bring culturally to the family, to the community, and with their discretionary spending. So it's to our advantage to continue to make it more attractive for people to live in Alaska and to become actuarially insignificant, which is what the Department of Administration would call all of us when we leave this earth and pass on to heaven. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Speaker, I need to put on the record that we're doing some estate planning in my family and are considering a clause like in Section 1, so I may have a conflict. I'd like to put that on the record.
There's a lot of objections. You're going to be required to vote. You may be required to have a will if you're not careful. Other debate. Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a couple questions. One is on Section 1. But I do want to state, over the years, we seem to get one or two of these bills from trust attorneys and trust bankers to change our law. And the explanation is always we have this trust industry, which actually, frankly, I don't know what it is yet, and that we need to stay competitive with all the other states, like Delaware, which keep changing its law. And I guess I'm a little troubled that we do this once or twice a year for that industry when they come to us. And I would like more information as to what this trust industry is. It is a couple lawyers and a couple bankers who invest money on Wall Street, or is the money really something that really helps this state? The substantive question I have is this. In Section 1, it says that if you as a family member challenge a will, let me just make sure I understand what it does say. If you challenge a will, and there's a provision in the will that says anybody who challenges it can be penalized, you for challenging the will can be penalized. And I understand why you would want to do that. You don't want to have litigation over the validity of a will going on forever and ever and ever. And I just want to know whether it would address this one circumstance which would trouble me. Sometimes as people get in their elder years, their very elder years, and start losing their faculties, their mental faculties, there are people in this society who befriend people like that. And there are people in this society who find their way to try and get into the wills of people like that, to the detriment of family members. And at some point, the courts will say, you can't change your will after you lose a certain level of capacity, a certain level of intellect. We're not going to let you change your will at that point. And at some point, there are people in society who will still try and get people to change a will at that point. And what would happen, I'm wondering whether this provision would go into force to punish a family member for challenging a brand new will, let's say, that is instituted after the person has lost their faculties. The family member would go to court and say, wait, this person in the community took advantage of my mother, took advantage of my father, got her to rewrite the will. I want to prove in court that they took advantage of her at a point after which she had lost her faculties. That sometimes is a will challenge. And I'm wondering whether or not this provision would work to the detriment of the family member who made that challenge.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I shared that concern, and we had quite a discussion along those lines in one of the committees, because I said the same thing. What about if there really is fraud or duress going on? Do we really want to have somebody not allowed to bring a challenge? I was assured in committee, and am in favor of this bill precisely because I was assured in committee, that if you bring a lawsuit like that and you win, there was fraud or duress, somebody did take advantage of your elderly parent and get them to change the will, and you win that case, then
this provision does not apply, and you are not disinherited for bringing a successful challenge. And that is the reason in which I was able to become a little bit more comfortable with this provision.
Representative Gardner.
I don't know anything about the trust industry and how it functions or the value of it in this state, but I do support this bill because I think we're all aware of circumstances and families that are just torn apart by battles over the wills and over inheritance, and I think a wise person might plan for that by putting a provision like this in their will to avoid having the heirs squabbling and fighting in court and lengthening the whole estate closure procedure. So I think this is a good bill, given that it does protect, as the previous speaker said, the interests of somebody who might have a predator taking advantage of them. So thank you.
Any other debate? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Speaker. It just occurred to me as I was sitting here, because I haven't heard this bill, that I have not been good about updating my will. And things have changed because we've adopted Trevor since I last updated my will. I'm sure that I need to call my lawyer now and update my will to head any problem off here. But for those people that also run into that same sort of change, where a new family member, for some reason, might get left out of a will, and they had this provision in there. What would happen? Because there has been a change in the family. Thank you.
Senator Umber.
Thank you, Speaker. I believe that the person who was left out of the will would be what's legally termed a pretermitted heir and would be entitled to share in the estate to the extent that they would share in if the person died intestate. So therefore, if they challenged that, they would be successful, and the rule enunciated by the representative from Turnagain would apply, and they would get their attorney's fees, and this clause would not apply. That would answer the representative's question, but I just would like to point out that Section 1 of the bill amends AS 1312.517, and it really just conforms the Uniform Probate Code as previously amended in this state to be identical to a provision that we put in 1998, amending another provision in the code, AS 1336.330, which reads identically to challenges to trusts. It used to be that if you challenged a trust and there was a clause in the trust that was an interorum clause, it was unenforceable. In 1998, we amended it to read that it is enforceable, just like this language. And it didn't make any sense to allow challenges to interorum clauses to be not permitted under, or that the interorum clause in a trust would be enforceable, but it wouldn't be enforceable in a will. These should be treated the same, and this simply conforms our code to what we've already done with trusts.
Any other debate? You ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 196? Pass the House. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 1 nay.
So the vote of 38 yeas and 1 nay, committee substitute for House Bill 196 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 220 by Representatives Book, Gatto, Faircloth, Thomas, Newman, Crawford, Wilson, Seaton, Foster, Samuel, Stoltz, Holmes, Guerra, Lynn, and Ramris, entitled An Act Prohibiting Computer-Assisted Remote Hunting. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 220 Resources with attached 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass Roses, Wilson, Guttenberg, Edgeman, Seaton, and Gatto. No recommendation, Kawasaki, Coring, and Johnson. The report was signed by Representatives Gatto and Johnson, co-chairs. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 220 Judiciary with the same title, attached a previous zero fiscal note and a new zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Gruenberg, Lynn, Samuels, Holmes, and Ramirez. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, chair. The Finance Committee referral was waived. There are two committee substitutes.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 220 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, then, we have the Judiciary version before us. Madam Clerk, do you have some amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 220 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
All right, hearing no objection from the Minority Leader, we'll move on to third. Madam Clerk, you read the title for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for House Bill 220 Judiciary, entitled An Act Prohibiting Computer-Assisted Remote Hunting.
Representative Book.
Question.
You know, the minority members seldom get ahead of the chance, so, you know, we want the public to understand we're a fair and open body here. Representative Book, you want to try to convince everybody, or have they all been sponsors already? All right, you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 220 pass the House? Members, please. Representative Book.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate the opportunity to stand before you today. What you're looking at is a bill that would ban internet hunting in Alaska. Internet hunting is when a person anywhere in the world can shoot animals by hooking up their computers to a rifle through the internet and making a kill with a click of the mouse. This practice is not hunting. This is pay-per-view slaughter. There is no sport in shooting animals while lying in bed wearing camouflage pajamas. This despicable practice began in Texas in 2005 when an entrepreneur offered people the ability to shoot big game on his land via remote control technology. The Texas legislature shut him down. Since then, 25 other states and 9 others are pending legislation to that regard. As everyone knows, we have some of the best big game in the world in Alaska. We need to have a ban on this practice before it hits Alaska. We need to protect our wildlife and also our hunting heritage. This bill is a preemptive strike against a practice that is insulting to sportsmen everywhere. It has the support of a wide spectrum of a group all around Alaska, all around the country. I hope that you will join me in sending a message that Alaska game limit is off limits to virtual hunters. There are three things the bill does. First, it would prohibit individuals from engaging in internet hunting from Alaska. Second, it would prohibit anyone from providing services or operating facilities in the state to enable computerized hunting activities. And finally, it would make sure that future technology designed to assist the legitimate needs of handicapped or disabled hunters would not be subject to the ban created in the bill. The bill only applies to Alaska. There is a bill that has been introduced in Congress that would address the interstate nature of this crime. We can't address that here, but what we can do is stand up for this state. I would appreciate your support.
Any other debate? Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 220 pass the House? Members, please vote. Enough, the other member will get back. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays can be substituted for House Bill 220 has passed the House. Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Committee substitute for House Bill 149, Resources, entitled An Act Relating to the Authority of the Department of Environmental Conservation to Require Certain Monitoring, Sampling, and Reporting, to Require Permits for Certain Discharges of Pollutants Relating to Criminal Penalties for Violations of the Permit Program, and Providing for an Effective Date. The bill's in third reading.
Ready for the question? Representative Ramos.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to address HB 149, if I may, briefly. House Bill 149 is a very exciting bill to me. The Majority Leader and I worked on this last year in resources, and it was nearly complete. This puts the finishing touches on NPDES, which is the National Pollution Discharge Permit, which allows the state of Alaska to take over primacy of its waters. There are 44 other states that enjoy primacy, and in order to do it, a state must convince the EPA that it can manage its own waters and reach clean water standards. This deals with testing, monitoring, and sampling of Alaskan waters as it relates to domestic and municipal wastewater, seafood processors, mining, industrial stormwater, timber, and oil and gas facilities. The DEC presently manages over 2,000, up to about approximately 2,000 of these permits. They manage these permits with a workforce of 43 people and a budget of $4.8 million. And they maintain the same clean water standard that EPA has maintained with our waters, that DEC is protected, expected to maintain with our waters. The discharges are into not only fresh water, but also into marine water. And it is a remarkably successful program. The DEC and the EPA have had somewhat of a redundant program in previous years, and now the DEC will enjoy primacy and will be the only place where an applicant will have to go in order to secure this. This just speaks to the general competency of the DEC, and I'm proud to be offering this these cleanup items so that this can be adopted by the state and we can move to owning our own waters. And I would like to touch on a specific component to this, which is inviting a criminal standard, so that one of these facilities that's being tested, were they to create phony documentation for the testing, monitoring, or sampling, there would be a criminal charge. It would be a Class A misdemeanor, and that would open the door for civil penalties against one of these entities. And facilities range broadly in scope, but the management of our clean waters is critical. And the fact that the DEC can manage 2,000 permits with 43 people for a budget of $4.8 million, to me, is an impressive standard for the DEC to maintain. So I'd like to applaud that agency and thank them for including the criminal violation to make it clearer to tell the good guys from the bad guys, and I encourage the body's support on HB 149. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further debate? Representative Jewell.
Mr. Speaker, I probably support this bill, but I do have a question. The way I look at this, if we're going to take primacy, that's going to cost money. And because we didn't hear it in finance, just wondering how that all works, if this is going to put an increase on the budget. Are we just planning on seeing it in a supplemental this year? Or what's going to be the anticipated cost to the state here, and how is that going to happen?
At ease. Now let's come back to order. Representative Ramos, you want to explain the answer to Representative Jewell and the rest of the members?
I will. I thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a cleanup bill that has technical language changes that are required by the EPA in order for them to give primacy to the state of Alaska. This was addressed in a bill from the other body last year, and so for instance, the criminal violation creating the Class A misdemeanor was an obligation that the state had to make because it's consistent with the EPA policies. In order for the EPA to turn something over to the state of Alaska, we have to meet a certain standard. This bill meets that standard, and the funding source for it was already approved in 2005. So we think this that this doesn't require a fiscal note, but I would thank the member for bringing it to our attention.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I oppose this legislation. I think that, you know, we've got a policy here that is going to cost us about $1.8 million a year. We are going to be enforcing standards that have to be at least the same as are going to be by EPA. The fee for every permit issued under the state is going to go up under this proposal to take primacy. And my concern is that in future years where we're looking at a revenue deficit, the cuts are going to come to this, and it's going to take longer to get permits than if we have it under the current system. So those are my reasons for opposing the legislation.
Other debate? You ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 149 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
31 yeas, 8 nays.
And so with a vote of 31 yeas and 8 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 149 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the committee substitute for House Bill 149 resources be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
No objection. A roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 by Senators Davis, Wiliakowski, Ellis, McGuire, Elton, Thomas, French, Olson, Wilkin, Representatives Guerra and Holmes, relating to reauthorization of federal funding for children's health insurance and encouraging the governor to support additional funding for and access to children's health insurance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the resolution attached to previous year fiscal note recommending do pass Cisna, Newman, Gardner, Seaton, Roses, and Wilson. No recommendation, Faircloth. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. The Finance Committee referral was waived. I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that SJR 1 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 relating to reauthorization of federal funding for children's health insurance and encouraging the governor to support additional funding for and access to children's health insurance.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This resolution would allow Alaska to join 48 other states that have sent resolutions to Congress to ask them to reauthorize the SCHIP program, and most of you know this from other debate. SCHIP is the federal program that gives the state money to provide health insurance for low-income and working families for their children. So it's our Denali Kid Care program. The program gets reauthorized every certain number of years, and this is the year that it needs to be reauthorized or the funding disappears, and the funding right now is about 70% federal funding. The feds will pay roughly 70% under a qualified plan to compensate the state for providing health insurance to children under our Denali Kid Care program. So that's the purpose of the resolution, and I'd appreciate support or questions.
Any other debate? Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 1 pass the House? Members, please vote. Representative Chenault. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 1 nay.
So the vote of 38 yeas and 1 nay, Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, are there any other items on today's agenda?
There's citations on today's calendar.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House to approve the citations on today's calendar.
No objection. Citations on today's calendar are approved. Is there any unfinished business? Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Olson be excused from 5:30 p.m. Monday, April 23rd, to evening plain time Tuesday, April 24th.
Objection. That member was shown as excused. Are there any committee announcements? Any other announcements? Our committee announcements, Representative Olson.
No, thank you. Labor and Commerce, 3 p.m. in the Transportation Committee Room.
Representative Meyer.
Mr. Speaker, finance today at 1:30, but no finance this weekend.
Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary is at 1 o'clock today, please.
Judiciary at 1. Other announcements, or any other committee announcements? Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Resources continues.
Agea following. Any other committee announcements? Any other announcements? Representative Coghill.
Just something to put on a calendar, Mr. Speaker. And I'm kind of usurping a little bit of the Hess chairman. The two Hess chairmen from both bodies will be sponsoring next Tuesday the Children's Caucus that deals with an issue that deals with HB 240, a bill that I went ahead and introduced this week. And that deals with some of the problems with trafficking in children for prostitution. This will be looking at a task force that is a federally mandated task force response. It's going to highlight an issue that hits really close to home. It's going to tell us some of the problems we have in Alaska and how we can protect some of our kids. And so it's going to be next Tuesday, the 24th at noon. I would encourage you at least to either listen in by the broadcast or enter the room or get the report. It's one of the most shameful things that we have that's happening in our society.
Any other announcements? Any special orders? Representative Garrett.
Mr. Speaker, I request permission to speak on missing an unlikely duo of legislators.
Missing an unlikely duo of legislators. Objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The former Rules Chair, who I often got along with and often didn't, had a practice when a freshman would bring his first bill to the floor, or her first bill to the floor, a bill like the member in front of me, where you would get here and there would be 8 or 9 or 10 amendments just sitting there on your desk that exchanged the word person for, I won't say what he did to my first bill, but I always got a kick out of it, and those amendments probably would have been waiting for the representative in front of me if he were still here. And I wanted to report to folks that a number of us went down to the wake for former Representative Jim Elkins, and it was very well attended. The room was packed. There, I would say there were 200 people there at the service, and it was a very nice service, and he was a very well liked man for very good reasons. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other special orders, Representative Stoltz?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of my two bright rising star colleagues, who happen to be women from my delegation who I listen to, I'd like to share some acknowledgments about some outstanding people in my community.
Objection.
Thank you. School athletics is a critical part of our community, which we all share. And a lot of you have probably, if you've ever gone to a Great Alaska Shootout, a perennial crowd favorite every year is the Chugiak Chaparral Drill Team, which a lot of other schools have copied but never quite got it right, the same with all due respect to Juno. So it's a... I shouldn't do those things. But one of my neighbors and a very good friend was the founder of that, Pauline Suter. She sent a message to my family that they had a ticket waiting. They'd sure hope I'd make it there for her farewell event, where I expect it to be a packed crowd of not only people that want to see a great performance, but a lot of the community and a lot of her former students that are going to say thank you and goodbye to Pauline. She's been an outstanding mentor. I've run into a lot of people joke about these girls, well, they're just a bunch of pretty girls dancing, but these are highly motivated professional young ladies. I've ran into some of them over the years as lawyers and business people, and she taught them discipline and appropriate behavior, and she had high rigid standards, and she had just great appreciation from that group of folks. And tonight, there's going to be a farewell and acknowledgement for her generation of involvement at Chugiak High School. So, and on the other subject, another good friend of mine, a coach, he didn't go to high school with me. He went to Palmer High School. He was a year older than me. We never wrestled against each other because he was a senior. When I was a junior, I was 105. He was a heavyweight, so we never... That's probably quite an amazement in itself that I was that weight. Duncan Shackelford, who has been a very successful high school coach at Diamond, now he's back where he really belongs at Chugiak, has been the head coach at Chugiak and stepped in on an emergency basis and took Chugiak to a second place finish in wrestling. And he's had a health setback with a stroke, and I just wanted to say, Shaq, we're all thinking about you and his wife Wendy, who's an Anchorage police officer, and their son, and that's also a person who's embraced by the community. So two great coaches, one goodbye and one get well. Thanks.
President Gutenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on Invest in Nome.
Invest in Nome.
Invest in Nome. Well, while those of us here are thinking about a small $20 billion project, looking at the newspapers, the Russians are considering a $65 billion project linking the Russian Far East with this continent. And looking at those who are in attendance, you've got Governor Hickel. This is not a little project. This is a large thought. Many times we joke about the road to Nome. This is another nation, another sovereign thinking about joining up with us. We might actually end up with a road to Nome in our lifetime. But we will hear things about how expensive it is, how dangerous it is, about its risks. But people are daring to dream. And let's support the road to Nome.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on my bolo tie.
And your bolo tie?
Yes. You know, I'm not wearing
it. Very beautiful,
tie.
By the way.
Thank you. A good friend of mine, Carolyn Nolan, made this for her brother. It's a killer whale, and I'm from the whale clan. But she'd made it and gave it to me, and I have to back up. And the reason she gave it, I'm a commercial fisherman, and during your fishing lifetime, at least my 38 years, I've pulled bodies out of the water, live ones, I'm thankful to say, towed people 20 miles with a web in their wheel or something that happened to them, or running down the bay to pull them off the beach when it's blowing 30 miles an hour. I was fishing in the icy straits one time, we're called Point Coverton and Rocky Island, and I had my two younger sons with me at the time. They were probably 14 and 16, and Gabriel and Carl. And we were halibut fishing. We had four skates out there, and it started blowing really hard. And it has to blow pretty hard for me to go in because I'm, you know, Captain Bly, they call me. So we go into a place called Swanson Harbor. So we sit there, and we're tied up and watching TV, and we get up in the morning to go pull our gear. And those of you around here are Pom Pom. Well, Pom Pom came on. It was the Coast Guard saying, keep a visual, a skiff is missing. And so we ran our gear, and it was probably just about half the area that we were trying to search anyway. We didn't see anything, and so we went on home. We went out in the middle of the bay and driving around. It was flat calm then. And so we got home, and I ran into Carolyn, and I found out later it was her brother, Andy, that we were looking for. And I grew up with Andy. He had gillnetted, and he's a boy from Hoon, and halibut fisherman, played basketball. He had one of those elbows that hurt you because I was guarded him, and he knew that. He'd elbow me, and it hurt. But anyway, we played together for years and really enjoyed each other's company and partied and fought hard in the gillnet area, too. And after she heard that I was out there, she came and gave me his bolo tie. So I thought it's quite an honor. I have it sitting on my desk, so I thought I'd wear it today. Just a change. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Joel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request permission to speak on the edge.
On the edge.
Thank you. This time of the year, Mr. Speaker, the sun's come back and it's actually starting to heat things up north of the Arctic Circle, as well as other places. And no, this is not about climate change, although. Anyway, you know, a long time ago, way before this life, when my hair was a lot darker, I was probably about 10 or 15 pounds lighter, and I think about 6 inches taller. I would go out on the ice up at Point Hope to go whaling. And the people at Point Hope are on the ice right now, and they're on the edge. And my son called me the other day. I started taking him out when he was probably about 4 or 5 years old. He'll be 26 on the 24th of this month. So he's been going. He's almost an old hand, considering his age. But as I was sitting here thinking about it, you know, there's just some things that really stand out in your mind and ingrain a picture that when you want to call on it, It's one of just stark beauty. I'd like to share one of those experiences. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. It's about 10 to 15 degrees below zero. It's clear as a bell. The water's that dark, cold blue. And in front of the edge of the shore fast ice is that young ice that I talked about when we did talk about the polar bear. And it's forming, and we're waiting, stomping our feet, trying to keep warm. And all of a sudden, we could hear a muffled blow, actually several. And we recognized them for what they were. They were beluga moving along the edge of the ice. So we got ready, because the reason we thought they were muffled is because they were still around the corner on a iceberg that we couldn't see around. And we waited and we waited and we didn't see anything. And then lo and behold, on that young ice, little humps started to form. Then we would hear the muffled blow. And they would stay there because it was cold and they would freeze. Without ever puncturing that young ice, what the beluga were doing was creating a breathe hole. And they would come up, create that air pocket, breathe, and all the other beluga behind them would never have to break the surface. And I'd never thought I would see tracks in the water that way. And it's just an incredible thing when you can stand on the edge and sometimes while you're waiting and watching, just learn from the simple joys of nature.
Any other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday, April 23rd.
Objection will be in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday.